Matthew 18, verses 10 to 14. See that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I tell you that their angels in heaven always see the face of my Father in heaven. What do you think? If a man owns 100 sheep and one of them wanders away, will he not leave the 99 on the hills and go to look for the one that wandered off? And if he finds it, truly I tell you, he is happier about that one sheep than about the 99 that did not wander off. In the same way, your Father in heaven is not willing that any of these little ones should perish.
Let me pray as we start. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that it is so relevant to us today. And thank you that you use it to speak to us. Father, please, would you help us this evening to come before your word humbly? Would you help us to be honest before you? And would you help us to learn from you? Amen. Now, we love a bit of controversy, don't we? We love it. But what about when it's close to home? What do you do when you see someone in the church doing something wrong? What do you do when you see someone that claims to be a Christian doing something that doesn't seem to honour God? How do you respond when someone that says they follow Jesus seems to wander away? It's easy, isn't it, to be critical. It's easy to be judgmental, to try and pick it apart. It's easy to say, well, they made that decision and that led to that and it was clearly going to go that way. It's easy to look and say, actually, kind of expected it from that person. Maybe you look and compare yourself to them. Say, well, I'm not in danger of doing that, am I? What do we do when we see someone doing something wrong? I've got a number of friends who would at some time call themselves Christians, say they follow Jesus, and right now they don't seem to be following him with their life. It's deeply sad, and it makes me really sad. But sometimes that sadness takes the form of pity. I look at them and say, it's so sad that you're like that, and I'm not. It's so sad that you've chosen those choices and I haven't. It's so sad that you're like that and I'm not. Sometimes I get it so wrong. But what is the right response to someone that seems to be getting it wrong? Matthew 18 answers this to some degree. Have a look back at verse 1. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? See, the disciples are speaking amongst themselves and with Jesus, asking this question, who is the greatest? So everything that comes after in the rest of the chapter is Jesus answering that question to them. Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And do you see the mindset of the disciples? They're actually okay. They feel all right about themselves. They're saying, who's the greatest, expecting it to be themselves. See how they can quickly become a bit judgmental? Look to the very next verse. Jesus, in answer to the question, who's the greatest, he called a little child before them who he placed among them. So let's get this straight. Jesus is talking to his best followers in their eyes. And in answer to the question, who is the greatest, he calls before them a child, a little child. You can imagine, can't you? The disciples looking at each other, thinking, Jesus, hello, we've asked who's the greatest, and you have called before us this little kid. Really? You can see the mindset of the disciples already, can't you? Looking down on a younger Christian. And this is where Jesus continues. Look back at verse 10. This is our first point for this evening. See that you do not despise one of these little ones. See that you do not despise one of these little ones. Jesus is answering directly to the disciples. But despise? Really? That's a bit strong, isn't it? Surely the disciples wouldn't hate that little child, despise them. But we can clearly see the mindset of looking down on, can't we? We can see that they'd think, really, Jesus? Compared to us? I wonder if you've ever had to look after a gaggle of children. There's a few teachers in the room, and I'm sure many of you have. I, at one point, coached some very young people, and as I looked after them and took them from place to place, from drill to drill, I had to gather them together and take them from one place to another. And it's really hard work, isn't it? Getting children together. So easily one wanders off, one gets stuck in a door, one gets trapped, all kinds of things. Now, when it was my responsibility to transport a group of young children playing sport from one place to another, I found it really difficult when a little child just ran off. It changed my focus, my attention over to somewhere where it didn't need to be. It made it more difficult. And quickly, I began to resent that child. Quickly, I wouldn't say hate, but despise wasn't very far away. Now, what is Jesus getting at here? What is Jesus' response? Well, have a look down at the passage, the parable there. I'll read it again. What do you think? If a man owns 100 sheep and one of them wanders away, will he not leave the 99 on the hills and go to look for the one that wandered off? And if he finds it, truly I tell you, he is happier about that one sheep than about the 99 that did not wander off. In the same way, your Father in heaven is not willing that any of these little ones should perish. See this picture building of a shepherd father. He doesn't seem to despise the one that wandered off. Doesn't seem to be judgmental, critical. In fact, have a look down. What feelings do we see? Verse 13, and if he finds it, truly I tell you, he is happier. That's the only feeling we see, is joy. Why is it? Because verse 14, in the same way, your Father in heaven is not willing that any of you little ones should perish. I wonder, we're seeing this picture of a little one, and Jesus broadens it slightly to see a wandering sheep. We've got a little wandering sheep, someone maybe that's young in the faith, maybe someone that's struggling in their lifestyle, maybe someone that is wandering away at the moment. How do you view that person in the church? How do you view the person that sometimes gets it wrong? See, God the Father has the most holy of holy standings, and he isn't judgmental, he isn't critical, but he has a sacrificial love, a compassion that leads to a joy in his face. I wonder, when you look at someone getting it wrong, what do you think? What do you think? Secondly, remember your roots. Who are these little ones? So we've got this picture of this little one, maybe someone struggling in the faith, maybe someone, a young Christian. But who are they? Who are these people in our church? Who are they? Let's go back to to verse 3, Jesus says, "Truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." See what Jesus is saying to the disciples? Actually, they are the little ones. At their very heart, they are wandering sheep. See, as Christians, we must remember our roots. We have the most humble of humble beginnings. What can we bring to our faith? What can we offer? What can we earn? Nothing. But at our very root, our faith is a gift from God. We shouldn't look down on other people in our church, other people that are Christians. We shouldn't look down on other people getting it wrong. Because at our very root, we too are wandering sheep. I wonder if you're familiar with the stories of Harry Potter and Lord of the Rings. They've got a lot in common. They've got lots of nice little threads weaving together. Here's one of them that we might find interesting this evening. Harry Potter comes from humble beginnings. He's born into a family that his parents die, and he's then adopted into his auntie's family. They are muggles. They aren't wizarding folk. So that's very tough. They don't like him. He gets bullied by his cousin. He barely scrapes it into Hogwarts. And even then, what's happened from the very beginning is very difficult for him. Frodo comes from the Shire, from Bag End, a very simple, humble life. He grows vegetables. He likes eating and drinking. He comes from very humble beginnings. But both of these characters come to the very forefront in the battle against evil. They become the biggest character in both of the stories. And there's a moment as we come towards a climax in some kind of situation, in either story, a character pulls them aside and says, "Remember your roots. Remember who you are. Remember where you're from. Remember what you've learned. Remember what you're about." And nicely, in both stories, something they've learned in their most humble of beginnings, something they've learned in how they've grown up, is really crucial to how then they overcome and how their character means that they can overcome evil in that situation. I don't know if you like these things that come up on the internet where they always seem to be a sky with some random words on. Memes, are they called? Anyway, here's one. It came up as I was preparing. "Never forget your past. It's the foundation that built your existence and the secret to your future." Remember your roots. For the Christian, if we don't remember the most humble of beginnings, then we turn the Christian faith into something that it's not. Quickly, we become like the disciples, proud, asking, who is the greatest? We forget that our faith is given to us. We forget that we have been bought at a price. We forget that it is not our work, but the work of Jesus Christ. And when we forget that, it's then that when we look at other Christians, we become judgmental. We become critical. We don't love. I wonder, do we need to return again, more regularly, to the humble roots of our faith? Thirdly, help wandering sheep. What can we do to help wandering sheep? Maybe this evening it's easy for you to identify with being the wandering sheep. Maybe at the moment you've realized that you're living in a way, in some way, that doesn't honor God. Maybe at the moment you are wandering from your faith. Well, what do you need to do? What do you need to do? Have a look down at the passage. Look at verse 13. What does the sheep do? Verse 12 and 13. If a man owns 100 sheep and one of them wanders away, will he not leave the 99 on the hills and go to look for the one that wandered off? And if he finds it, truly I tell you, he is happier about that one sheep than about the 99 that did not wander off. What did the sheep do in order to be able to be reunited with his father, with the shepherd? Nothing. He did nothing. But the sheep had his gaze turned to the joy in the father's face as he returned to his shepherd's arms. This evening, if you are a wandering sheep, will you return to the sacrificial love of the Father? Will you turn your gaze to the joy in the Father's face? And then, will you turn in humble obedience and follow him? Maybe for you, you are more inclined to identify with the disciple here. You're more inclined to say, actually, my faith's okay. I'm living okay. What then for you? Well, do we need to go back again to the basics of the Christian faith? Do we need to remember our roots? Do we need to look again at the simplicity of the gospel? Could you spend time looking at the sacrificial love of the Father that he showed as Jesus went to the cross for sinners like you and me? Maybe this evening, the person you most identify with being the wandering sheep is a friend you know. Maybe it's a family member. Maybe it's someone that you can think of in the church or that's left the church. What then? Well, we must not be judgmental. We mustn't be critical. It is right to hate sin. That's godly. But it is not our place to hate the sinner. We can't look at people and say that we are better. Will you point people towards the sacrificial love of the Father? Is there something that you can do for that wandering sheep to point them back to the love the Father has? This evening, God is asking us this question. Will you let me be the rescuing Father? What would it look like to say yes? Maybe for you, you identify with the disciples. You feel okay in your faith. And sometimes you're on the verge of becoming proud. Sometimes you can become judgmental. Why don't you spend time this week looking at the simplicity of the gospel, looking at what Jesus has done for us, looking at the sacrificial love of the shepherd, the Father? A great place to do this is Ephesians 2, verses 1 to 10. Why not take time to read that and see the simplicity of how our faith is nothing achieved by us? Maybe you'd identify with being the wandering sheep. What would it look like for you this week to go to the truth of the gospel, to look at how God the Father sacrificially loved his people to send his own son, And why don't you tell someone that you've done that? Why don't you share with someone? Can I ask you to do something for me just for a minute? If you're taking notes, then draw a cartoon sheep. The best cartoon sheep you can draw. If not, then pull out a phone or anything. I want you to write in this cartoon sheep the name of the person that you most identify with being the wandering sheep this evening. It might be your own name. You might say, I feel like the wandering sheep. It might be a friend's name. It's private, completely private. We're not going to share it or anything. But as you write it down, will you do something this week for this wandering sheep? Will you be honest with yourself before God? Will you look to spend time with someone you know who is drifting? Even if you don't write it down, will you store that in your head? And will you do something about it this week? Imagine with me for a minute. Imagine Christchurch Baldock was a place where people weren't judgmental. People weren't critical. People had a genuine concern for others. From being humble in their own faith as they recognized the sacrificial love of the Father, one for them. Imagine having complete confidence to be honest about our struggles. Imagine having the confidence to bring a friend without worrying what people might think of them. Imagine all of that. Could we make Christchurch like that? Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your love for us. Thank you that while we were still sinners, you died for us. Father, please would you help us to stay humble. Help us to go back to that fact. Father, if there are people here this evening wandering from you, please would you help them to see the sacrificial love that you have for them. And Father, please would you help us together to not be judgmental or critical, but to share in the sacrificial love of the Father. Amen.